It's a wonderful blessing to be gathered together once again under the praise and the glory of our Heavenly Master. I'm truly... Last night, Brother Sonny asked me if I would be willing to take part, and I prayed a lot about it, and then felt a desire. I hadn't felt that desire all week. So I pray that what's on my mind is of the Lord. This week has been a trying week. It's been a very interesting week. I don't think Catherine or I really realized what was going to happen and take place. But as I was sitting in the OR prep room, the Lord blessed Hebrews 11, verse 1, to come to my mind. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is not our first rodeo. We've been down this path before. My wonderful second son now, or first son, excuse me, second child, this is weird, took us for a little ride 5 years ago. This morning, I'd like to go and start in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." I touched a little bit on this last week, but Lord being our helper, I'd like to look at this a little bit more. In life, we go through a lot of different trials, and we might say, well, their trial wasn't as big as mine, or I feel bad for them. It's a horrible thing. We have different points of view when we look at other people's trials. What the difficult part is, sometimes, as a person, as a man that is in sinful flesh, is that we often may look at somebody and say, that wasn't as bad as mine. But it's not the case. The Lord has, we are tried with fire constantly. It may be small, we may not realize what's going on, but it's the decisions that we make in those particular situations that have profound impacts, not only on the rest of your day, but could have profound impacts on the rest of your week, month, life. We don't know. But it's profound. That's the point. Your trial that you go through is your trial. It's what the Lord puts you through. This trial that Catherine and I are going through right now is difficult. It's hard to explain. I have tried in many ways to help people understand, and it is hard. It is hard to do. Zach and Emily have a new baby. There are trials with that. Trust me, I understand. And it's going to get easier. Brother Sonny has faced cancer, still dealing with that. But we pray for him. That's the blessing that we have for those brothers and sisters when they go through that. But how do we walk in faith? How do we handle that? First, you have to understand what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, in order, let's go to Hebrews 11. Go ahead and move over there. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, we see here, and it's a little bit of a twist in the way that it's written. You got to really break it down in that verse. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. So how is it a substance, though, as well? Faith is the evidence of things not seen, and faith is also the substance of things hoped for. Those things hoped for are spiritual and heavenly substances. It's things not of this world. It's something that's within you. In order to understand faith, we must understand who He is. Later on, in this same chapter, in verse 6, it says, But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. How do we do that? Through regeneration. We cannot do it on our own accord. A unregenerate cannot believe that God is, because that's something that's within us. Mm-hmm. That's within our heart. That's all completely on our mind. We understand who He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So that is within us. Without that, it is impossible to please God. Therefore, we have a hope, and that hope is in spiritual or heavenly places, not of this world. And we learn a little bit more about that here in this chapter. I really want to go to Abraham. In verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed." He went out. The Lord said, "Get thee out of this country and go into a land in which I'll show you." This was in chapter 12 of Genesis. He said, "Go, I'll show it to you." That's walking by faith. He had no idea where he was really going to go, but he knew that the Lord was going to bless him. He knew that if I put one foot out in front of me, I'm going to take a step of faith, and then another step of faith, and then all of a sudden he's walking. He did not know where the Lord was going to take him, but he had faith that God would guide him. It was something that he felt all the way to his core. Then, not only that, the Lord in chapter 15, actually in that same chapter 12, he told him that, look, your seed will have many nations. He promised that to him. And then in chapter 15, he confirmed that promise with the covenant. He said, "I swear to you, by myself, that this will happen. Your seed will be of many nations." From there, we find that they decided, well, okay, he told us this. Maybe this is the way that we should go. You know, he took Sarah's handmaiden Hagar, and they thought, okay, well, the Lord, we think that this is what he's telling us to do. We don't know. She's barren. We don't know. They conceived a child, Hagar and Abram, and Ishmael was born. And then the Lord came to Abraham and said, "Sarah will be the mother of this child. Sarah and you will conceive a child, and his name shall be Isaac." That trying of faith is very difficult. It can be. Because then we find in chapter 22... Well, in chapter 21, where Ishmael was then sent away with Hagar. That must have been difficult. It basically said that it bothered Abraham. That's what it did. It bothered him. I can't imagine sending my son away. But then we find in chapter 22, where Isaac has been born, and we find Abraham and him. And they go up on the mount. And the Lord told him to take him up there and to offer him as a burnt offering. He had that knowledge. Isaac did not. He took him up on that mountain and said, no, the Lord will provide a sacrifice, after Isaac had asked, where's the lamb for the burnt offering? With faith, he walked, knowing that the Lord would provide. And we learn of that even more here in this same chapter of Hebrews. In verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He was not going to spare him. He was not going to. He was going to sacrifice his son unto the Lord because the Lord had said, do it. He stepped forward and he said, he that receiveth the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He knew that God would bless. He knew what God's covenant was. He knew that all he needed to do was to walk by faith. Because the Lord had said it. The Lord had promised him. That's what was important. Nothing in this world else matters. The Lord promised that he would come again. The Lord has done the work that he said he would do. What do we have to doubt? We have no doubt, no reason to doubt. Yet we do. Yet we do. Because our flesh gets in the way. I can't tell you how many times in the last week that I have had moments of doubt. And then I've been called to remembrance. Whenever on Thursday morning, whenever I got the call that his Eli's lungs were not doing well. And I had prepared myself for my son dying that day. It was the scariest thing that I have ever been in my life. I didn't even go through that with Isaac. But by 2 o'clock that day, the whole scenario had changed. God blessed. Why? Because I begged him. I went to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Help me to walk better in faith. Help me to see better, Lord God. I know that you are able. I am not. This is one of those moments when we are tried, where we have to lean solely on him. And it's scary. It is scary. We learn in chapter 10 that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is scary to put yourself out there in a way that we just don't understand. But God is gracious. God is merciful. God guides us each and every day in ways that we can't eat. Most of them we don't even know about. We have so many examples of ways in which God has blessed us. We learn about them here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. But I would like to go back real quick, and I'd like to go to the 4th chapter of Romans. So we have faith. What do we do with it then? We have to work it. And it's not just, I have faith, now let me go on about my life. There are things that we need to do. As Brother Mark Coral said yesterday, he conceals his muscles underneath layers of fat. He doesn't exercise very well, whereas apparently John Mark does. We have to exercise our faith. It is a daily and diligent working. It is not something that we say, okay, and walk out just willy-nilly. We got to work at that. And it takes work, but that's okay. Now, it's not to say that it is by works, that it might be by grace. No. We have to work to increase our faith. These trials that we face do that. Now, let's go to let's go to verse 15 of chapter 4 in Romans. Because the law worketh wrath, for 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs according to Abraham, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no law for For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be made sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, who against hope believed in hope. It wasn't that he was up against it. It wasn't that what Abraham ended up doing is he pressed into it. It wasn't that he didn't have a reason to hope, and people might say, "Oh, he shouldn't. I don't understand why he's hoping." No, what it was that Abraham had hope. He had faith, and what he ended up doing was he pressed even harder into that faith, into that hope. He leaned into it. He put everything he had into it. It was nothing left. He put everything into that, knowing that God would bless, knowing that God would lift up his son had he slain him. That's what he did. He did not stagger for a moment. And it was counted unto him for righteousness' sake. God blessed Abraham because of that. He lifted him up and made him very great. The Lord blesses us when we lean into our faith. It is not always easy. Trust me, it's not. I can tell you from experience. But the Lord blesses us when we push further in. And those moments when we are tried is the time to do so. It is not time to say, "Well, poor, poor, pitiful me." We have to be called to remembrance. We have to work our faith. It is important that we do so. And that's why the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, because gold is just, it's just here and then it's gone. That's the reason why it perisheth. And then you're tried with fire and the dross is removed. I mean, yes, it gets prettier, but gold still perishes. That's why it's your faith is more precious than that of gold. That it might be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glorying at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, brothers and sisters, I see the appearing of Jesus Christ throughout my entire life. I was telling Catherine a couple of nights ago, she said, she had a down moment and said some things, and I said, "Well, honey, I don't deserve any of this. I deserve none of this." I said, "You, the kids, this home, none of it. But God has been gracious to me throughout my entire life." I could see the Lord in your lives as well, and how he has blessed you with your children, with your illnesses, with everything. God blesses his people, and you receive it and feel it even more whenever you are pressing into your faith. You see God's handiwork. I remember with Isaac, I didn't see it at first. I remember being in the forest and not even seeing anything. I was so laser focused. But having been through this fire before, I was called to remembrance that God can and will bless. And I know that as that song 466, I think it is, says, "All is well." Philip and I have been talking about that song a lot this last week. It has been in my mind because I know that all is well. That no matter what happens, God will bless. Because I have faith that he will. And I know that you do too. "Whom having not seen, ye love." I haven't seen the Lord. I catch glimpses of him here and there. Yesterday morning, caught a good glimpse of him. Amen. It was wonderful. I've caught glimpses of him at other meetings. But I know that I love him. I know that he is my husband. I know that he is my Savior. In whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. When we have those moments where we see our Lord, we get to rejoice in that. It excites us. Our spirits get lifted up because we come prepared, ready to see Him. We come ready to worship Him. And in that moment, in those moments, when we do see Him, when our souls are lifted up together, we receive the end of our faith. The salvation of our souls. We have that now. We understand it now. We have nothing to fear now. And God continues to bless us in those moments. It's with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's nothing else. God has been gracious to all of us. But may we continue to press in as Abraham did. May we continue to look unto our Heavenly Master for everything that we need and thank Him for everything that we have. It's through His grace and mercy that I am able to take that next step, as are you. And that's a wonderful thing. We serve a living God that loves us and will continue to love us until we either pass from this life or He comes again. Personally, I don't care either way. I'm just looking forward to seeing Him more. Thank you. I pray the Lord richly blesses you, and if this has been a benefit to you, I pray that you give Him all the honor and praise and glory.
Good. It's good to hear. That was right from the heart. That was something that Brother Seth has lived in this past week. As we encounter the challenges of life, and there is tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the tribulation. What the future holds, none of us really knows. But we know who holds the future. Decisions that are made, activities of a church, we don't understand, we don't know. We have to wait till we get to a present place. And then wait on the Lord. One of the most, and I guess we learn patience in this, but I like to plan, and I like to have things laid out 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or however many months ahead, and I've learned that that's just fills time. It doesn't do much. What we need is grace to know what to do in the moment when decisions need to be made. Now, there are some things certainly we plan for, retirement, so forth and so on, plan a family. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just have one. But God help us to learn, to grow. As we hear of ones passing from this life that have meant so much to us, it reminds me once again that we have a generation that's passing. Fortunately, there is another generation that the Lord has blessed to this point, and we encounter times like this when it's our time to step up, so to speak. I think one way we can see this is in a very physical way, in a meaningful way. Several camp meetings ago, after a lot of thought, I would imagine, Brother Tom decided that it was time for some of the older ones to still be active, but to kind of step back. And so, as the custom is, he started appointing other ones, younger couples, to take the lead. And I watched that. I observed that. And I saw the other ones, the older ones, just watching. And when the younger ones had a decision that they didn't know, they were quick to ask. And the person was there, and it was beautiful to behold. That's the way it's supposed to work. That as a generation passeth, another generation cometh. The last couple of additions that we've had have been children that were baptized. Again, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows if these children might not become pillars in the church? I hope they do. I pray they do. But we have faith. We have faith. I'm not going to go into a subject. I'm going to say we close services. Stand and sing a song. Give an invitation for members. There'll be one or more that desire to join Bethel Church. The opportunity is yours. After we sing the first verse or so, we'll certainly ask Brother Seth, if it's where he can, to come and sing for us. Take your right hand of fellowship with him and with one another. Somebody have a selection, please.
543.
523.
543.
543.